And yeah, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. Some big wins for Cork City over the weekend. The men's team beating Treaty United last night 4-0, while the women's team beat Piemont 6-0 earlier in Turner's Cross. That's some turnaround for them. There was also the amazing win for the Cork minor team, who've sent themselves into the All-Ireland football final. They beat Derry 219-28, and Keith Ricken's side will face Tyrone in the decider in 2 weeks. But for many, all eyes in Cork will be on Semple Stadium Thurles for the Cork Hurlers clash in the All-Ireland quarter-final against Offaly at 3:30 tomorrow. Hopefully an enjoyable contest and that the Rebels come through it and without any injuries. But to preview the game, I caught up with Liam Weiss, sports reporter with Midlands 103 up in Offaly. All right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by sports reporter with Midlands 103, Liam Weiss. Liam, how are you getting on?
Not too bad now, Dan, yourself?
I'm not too bad. Well, you're in Cork anyway, you were telling me off air there. So you're in enemy territory for the evening.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm not wearing the Offaly jersey at the moment, so nobody can come saying anything to me or anything like that. But yeah, down for Zach Bryan for the day. So I won't be in Croker for the Tailteann Cup semi-final. But I wish the lads the best of luck, and as well as the Camogie team against Dublin as well in Borough. I wish them the best of luck. But obviously tomorrow's the big one from my end of the country in Offaly. So very much looking forward to it, yeah.
Being in Offaly, what's kind of the mood around the county heading into this Cork game?
Yeah, I think there's great excitement, Dan, to be honest with you. Like, obviously, at the start, obviously after the league campaign, there was maybe a bit of doom and gloom to a degree, with both maybe the hurlers and the footballers, considering we lost every single game. But I felt maybe with the hurlers, there was still a bit more excitement because we did have a lot of injuries throughout the league. And I suppose we did go into it kind of knowing that we were going to be probably maybe a small bit out of our depth, to probably be fair to say, against six of the best teams in the country. But coming out of the league, I felt that it was good for us to be playing against the likes of your Corks, your Limericks, your Tipperaries, etc., just to get that little bit of experience. And I think it helped them a lot throughout the Leinster Championship. And then, sure, the Leinster Championship was, I think, other than probably getting to the Leinster final, it was everything we could have hoped for, to be honest with you. Getting the two wins against Wexford and Kildare, as well as getting the draws against Dublin and Kilkenny, which I'd say the Dublin one we're probably still looking back on with a small bit of regret, because it was a point that Dublin got to level the game, whereas the Kilkenny one, although we probably could have won it, to get the draw in the last minute was fantastic. And sure, to be in the championship still in the middle of June is just fantastic. So I think there's great buzz and excitement for the match tomorrow, yeah.
Is there a real feeling that you can get at this Cork team?
Well, look, at the end of the day, this is we're kind of in bonus territory to a degree, to be honest with you. Like, for Cork, obviously, the ambition is obviously win the All-Ireland. It would have been to win the Munster title as well at the start of the season. Whereas for ourselves, I'd say maybe get to a Leinster final if we could, or at least minimum get out of Leinster and then kind of see where you go from there. Like, tomorrow is a free hit for Offaly. And I suppose tomorrow against Cork, like, we're going up against, look, let's call a spade, aside from yourself, like, aside from Limerick, Cork is the best side in the country. Like, it's a coin toss between the two of them. So like, we're going into this game, I suppose, with a free shot, and like, we're going to give it our all 100%, you know. And I suppose the main thing I think for us is it depends on which Cork turns up tomorrow as well, you know, because we saw it last year with Limerick and Dublin in the All-Ireland quarter final. Limerick didn't turn up with 100%, you know, focus against Dublin. Probably, maybe to a degree, thought that all they had to do was kind of turn up and win the game, and we all remember what happened, you know. So, like, I'm kind of seeing it as this could go one of two ways. This could be a Cork team who's still, I suppose, still trying to get over the Munster final and could turn up thinking all we have to do is kind of turn up here and we'll get the job done. Or it could be a Cork that is essentially angry after the Munster final and could ship a couple of goals against us. So I suppose it all kind of depends on which Cork turns up tomorrow, to be honest.
What do you think, Will, like, from the outside in, you'd have to take confidence that this Cork team mentally seems like they can be got at times. You know, obviously you only have to look as far back as the All-Ireland final last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the All-Ireland final last year, the first half went excellently, and then we all know kind of what happened in the second half. But at the same time, look, I think Cork are in a really good position still. Like, I don't think losing the Munster final should be that detrimental to them this season, because at the end of the day, as much as maybe Limerick probably maybe did deserve to win in the end, at the end of the day, there was one point in it. Do you know, like, it was a close game, and the conditions were horrible on the day as well. So And Cork have been impressive this season in Munster. I mean, they won all four of their round-robin games, and I think they've won them all in really good fashion. Like, I think Ben O'Connor has done a great job with Cork. I think he's took over well from Pat Ryan, who equally did a fantastic job over the last number of years. And I think there's a bit of steel with this Cork team as well. There's a lot of firepower in the forward line. There's obviously, look, I know you have your injury problems at the moment with Tim O'Mahony and Tommy O'Connell out, and I know Dara Fitzgibbon is back in tomorrow, who I've said for a long time, if there was a transfer window in hurling, I would 100% be asking Offaly to go and buy him, because I think he's just exceptional at what he does. He's versatile, he's brilliant at getting a couple of scores every game, and I think he's a leader on the field. But then, yeah, look, at the same time, you see, I'm not going to lie, I smiled when I saw that William Buckley was on the bench, to be honest with you. I can't imagine too many Cork people maybe were too happy to see that one, but still, Cork have great players coming in, the likes of Hugh O'Connor, Alan Walsh coming in, you know, and there's great power off the bench as well. So, look, Offaly's going to be up against it tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. But listen, like you mentioned, it all depends on which Cork team turns up. If it's the Cork that kind of turned up throughout the majority of the last 2 years, then it could potentially be a long afternoon for Offaly. But like you said, if it's the Cork that maybe turned up in the second half of the All-Ireland final last year, then Offaly could go into it with confidence themselves.
Looking back at your year so far, and one player for me who's had a real standout year is Liam Horan in goals. If Offaly are to win tomorrow, how big of a game do you think Liam is going to have?
Yeah, look, it goes without saying, Liam Hoare has been absolutely exceptional over the last number of years, not just for Offaly, but for Carrigan Riverstown as well. And I'd echo that towards his club teammate, Carl King, as well. The two of them are leaders on the field. And what Liam has gone through over the last number of years as well, he's not just an inspiration to the lads on the field, but I think he's an inspiration to everybody in Offaly and a lot of people across the country, you know. And to say he's a character, it would be something else as well. I know you've done interviews with him and you could probably agree with me.
He's a great lad. What you're referring to, he recovered from cancer, and it's just a remarkable story. And he's one of the top goalkeepers in the country and could go down as an all-time great if he keeps on this trajectory. You know, it's incredible.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, he is going to be crucial because, listen, he's an excellent shot stopper. I'd say other than the Kerry goal that was scored against him in the match against Kilkenny, he's been absolutely formidable for us all season. He's pulled off massive saves. Even in the hammering we got against G in the league, he pulled off some really good saves. His puckouts are excellent. His long-range free-taking is superb. You know, so he's going to be crucial for us. You know, he's going to have to get his puckouts right, whether he's playing them short or playing them long. And listen, he can also have a pop from long range. Like, he's well capable of putting a ball over from 100 yards out, you know. So, and especially if a stage tomorrow when he has the wind on his back, that could be a crucial factor for us. But yeah, look, Liam's been an excellent keeper all season. If we were to get over the line tomorrow, then look, whether he'd be in all-star territory, I'm not sure, because look, Collins has been excellent all season himself. And you know, I also think Nicky Quaid has had a sensational season for Limerick too, but he'd certainly be knocking on the door anyways, that's for sure.
Another Offaly player and an absolute gent to have interviewed before, Dan Ravenhill. He's back into the side tomorrow. How much of a boost do you think he's going to give to this team?
Big boost. Look, Dan is, he's big, he's strong, he's physical. Again, much like Liam Hoare, he's a great strike from long range. And look, I'm hoping that himself and Cahill can form a good partnership tomorrow. Look, it's all going to come down to work rate at the end of the day. You're going up against, you know, Brian Roach and Dara Fitzgibbon. Like, that's pace, and pace for days, you know, and slick hurlers as well, much like Cahill and Dan are. I think it's going to be a very interesting battle between the four of them. In, like, this could be a game where all four of them get 2-3 points each. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're all capable of doing that in the middle of the park. But look, Dan is going to have to do a lot of the defensive work as well tomorrow, because I can imagine it will be a game tomorrow. I'm going to put it this way. This could be like Arsenal playing a game, and I'm saying that as an Arsenal fan. You know, it could be a game where if Offaly were to win, we might end the game with about 26% possession. Do you know what I mean? So there'll be a lot of having to do a lot of running off the ball. But listen, it's not just Dan as well. Look, we'll need Owen Cahill to have another big game tomorrow. Adam Screeny, it's a big stage for him tomorrow as well. But I've had trust in him over the last number of years as his club mate as well, and I'm going to have trust in him again tomorrow to try and shine tomorrow as well. It's a shame we won't have Charlie Mitchell tomorrow, and while I'm here, I still wish my best of luck to him as well in his recovery and everything like that. But yeah, look, it's a big opportunity for a lot of these lads tomorrow, you know, not just the young lads, but the older lads as well, who haven't ever played at this stage. Some of the lads who played at Christy Ring a couple of years ago, Joe McDonough, the likes of Ben Keneally, the likes of Killian Sampson, who made his debut in the Christy Ring and everything like that, has made his way through over the last number of years. So it's a big opportunity for the lot of them. But I also think I think it's infectious what the young lads have brought over the last number of years in playing in big stadiums. They won't be fazed by playing in Semple Stadium tomorrow in front of a huge crowd either. So
you've some tasty forwards there in Dan Burke, Duigenan and Screeny, in fairness. Like, yeah, there'll be no slouches to what maybe a certain section of Cork fans might think, you know?
Well, look, Dan Burke for me, as much as he plays for a rival club in Offaly, and there's obviously good banter with all that in Dignan as well, but in fairness to them, they're two top class lads, both on the pitch and off the pitch. Dan has been exceptional in an Offaly jersey over the last 2-3 years. He's exceptional on the ball. I've great confidence in him whenever he gets his hand on the ball that he can get you 3-4 points a game or set up a score and like that. Everybody knows, or majority of hurling fans across the country know about Adam Screeny, and I'm blessed that he plays for my own club as well, so I get to watch and support him all year round. Probably maybe hasn't had his best campaign maybe in Leinster. I thought he was excellent against Dublin. He played well against Galway, missed the Kilkenny game, and he didn't shoot the lights out against Wexford, but equally you need players as well who, even if they don't have their best day, they can still come up with big moments, and he got the goal against Wexford, you know, a big moment. So, and yet, like you mentioned, Dignan's had a very good season as well, turned up massively in the second half against Kildare the last day. So yeah, these guys have big games ahead of them tomorrow, but at the same time, look, they're going up against very good Cork defenders, the likes of the Downies, the likes of Mark Coleman, who I've admired for the last number of years, Damien Cahalan, Sean O'Donoghue, you know, experienced fullbacks as well. So it's going to be a tough challenge for them, but I think it's one that they're fully going to embrace, and it's the stage that they want to be playing at.
What are you going to target tomorrow if you're going to come away with a win?
To be honest with you, I see it as, look, as much as I can understand why people are saying, you know, a win for Offaly would be keeping it within 8, 9, 10 points. At the end of the day, I see it as, look, we're here. Why don't we just go for it? Mm-hmm. Do you know, we absolutely have nothing to lose. And if you're at this stage of the season, why not try and go and win every game possible? Look, if we were to get over Ye tomorrow, I'd understand why some people might say, well, that was your All-Ireland or anything like that. The All-Ireland is the All-Ireland, do you know? So if we were to get over Ye tomorrow, I'd be seeing as, listen, if we can beat Cork, why can't we go and beat either one of Galway or Limerick in a semi-final, do you know? Because at the end of the day, Cork have been arguably probably the best side in Ireland over the last 2 years, aside from, you know, the likes of Tipperary or Limerick, obviously last year and this year. So if you can beat Cork, then why not go and target somebody else then and keep pushing yourselves to the next limit? So
from the Cork side, who would you fear most from an Offaly point of view?
Well, Darragh Fitzgibbon for one, even though he's only just coming back, I still think he's a player that could get you 3-4 points a game. But look, if William Buckley was on the field, if William Buckley was coming onto the field, I'd probably be saying him. But I think one massive player that we're going to have to really keep an eye on is Brian Hayes at full forward. He's probably the best full forward in the country. Now, look, I'd have faith in Ben Keneally to hopefully possibly do a job on him, or Kieran Burke. But at the same time, Brian Hayes, like I mentioned kind of with Screeny a moment ago, is the type of player who could be out of a game for 67, 68 minutes and then pops up with a goal at a point out of nowhere. Do you know, he's just very sneaky like that. And he's great power, great pace. The goal he got against Cork or against Limerick in the Munster final was exceptional. So I think if I was to probably maybe pick one, just because he's only just back from injury, I won't say Darragh Fitzgibbon for the time being. I'm going to say Brian Hayes is the one we really need to watch out for.
Yeah, you mentioned William Buckley. Well, what do you like about William this year, Liam?
He kind of reminds me of Charlie Mitchell to a degree. Just the way he strikes the ball, his power, his pace. He's, you know, he's very unpredictable as a forward as to which side he's going to go to. I think he's a great striker of the ball. I think he's someone who just brings that little bit of excitement into the forward line. And yeah, I love watching him. I love watching him play, to be honest with you. So I'm delighted he's on the bench tomorrow. But at the same time, look, he's still available there for selection. So when he does eventually come onto the pitch, or at least I'd imagine he will tomorrow, he'll be another player that we'll have to watch out for. But look, we're going to have to watch all 15 players at the end of the day. Like, you know, Cork is a super team, and they have been over the last, you know, 2-3 seasons. At the end of the day, like, they've played in 2 All-Ireland finals and have won a Munster title and have played in 2 Munster finals. Like, they're a top class team, and we're going to have to be ready for it. But I've no doubt our lads absolutely will. But look, as optimistic as I want to be, I still think Cork will get the job done tomorrow and get to the semi-final. But I'm hoping anyways we can give it a good show.
Just to pick your brain from an outsider's perspective, were you surprised that it was William? And I think you are from talking to you instead of Connolly, because maybe Connolly hasn't had his best year, hasn't been hitting the form that we'd have hoped.
I suppose so, to a degree. I think just because William has been very, very good this season, but at the same time, look, Alan Connolly, I think, is still a very, very good forward, and I think he can step up and go to a next level if it's required of him. I think his free taking is good. I think he can be dangerous when he wants to be. He's very fit. I believe off the top of my head, he set up the goal for Shane Barrett in the first game between Cork and Limerick. So he has his qualities, but I suppose, look, if I was going to be taking out either one of them, I probably wouldn't have taken out William Buckley. But at the same time, look, Ben O'Connor knows a bit more about the core panel than I would anyways, dealing with them every single night of the week. So, but look, I think at the end of the day, Cork have so many top-class forwards that even if you were to take out the likes of a Buckley or whatever, then you've got excellent players to come off the bench and go in and replace them. So I think in the end, and it gives the opportunity for other lads as well to show what they're all about if they were to get past us tomorrow going forward into a potential semi-final against Galway.
Yeah, maybe just keeps the bit of consistency on the frieze. Offaly hurling, you know, it's had a big comeback the last 3 or 4 years since the Magic Hill under-20 team and the story you've gone on. They've kind of, you know, keeps culminating and you'll have some massive days yet. What's been behind the driving force of Offaly, the resurgence of Offaly hurling over the last few years?
Yeah, it's kind of been equal in both hurling and football, to be honest with you. Look, having the Faithful Field built in 2017 was crucial because it gave Offaly GAA, you know, a place to go and train and to, you know, put in some top-class facilities and get everyone on board with that. I suppose to a degree as well, back in like 2019, we got relegated to the Christie Ring and we weren't going too well in football either. So I suppose we did kind of look at it and say, we got to just start from scratch here and just go again, to be honest with you, and just hit the reset button. And look, the success of the last number of years of the underage teams in both hurling and football has just rejuvenated the county, in my opinion. And, you know, it's driving people, like you saw it yourself. We sold out All-Ireland finals and under-20 level and minor level. We sold out Leinster finals and under-20 and All-Ireland and level and everything like that. And I think once those lads started progressing through to the senior team, and look, Killian Sampson has referenced it, Jason Sampson's referenced it, Ben Keneally has referenced it, that a lot of the young lads just brought energy to training and energy because all they care about is hurling. You know, that's all they think about 24/7. So I think just the young lads coming through and putting the right structures in place, putting the right underage structures in place has played a massive, massive part, to be honest. You're getting everyone on board, getting supporters back as well. And we need, look, at the end of the day, it's very easy to support a team when they're going well at the end of the day, but it takes a lot of courage to go and support teams when, you know, they're struggling. Like I still remember paying money to watch us play Sligo in the Christie Ring 5 years ago. I remember paying money to watch us lose a Christie Ring semi-final 6 years ago against Down during COVID. So, you know, it's just getting yourself through those difficult times to make sure that in a couple of years' time you'll be back to playing the good days like we have tomorrow.
What are you expecting from the atmosphere on occasion? Are tickets hard gotten awfully, or what way is that situation?
Yeah, some people were struggling to get tickets, all right, but I can imagine it's probably the same in Cork because, look, at the end of the day, you fantastic supporters and you sell out wherever you go. I mean, the match could be played outside the field beside my house and there could be 30,000 Cork people there, do you know what I mean? It's you fantastic supporters, to your credit, like, and having been at the All-Ireland Final in 2024, like, I saw it myself. It was just a sea of red at Croke Park, do you know, when you played against Clare. So, look, at the end of the day, I expect a great atmosphere. I think you've got two extremely passionate set of supporters going to Turles tomorrow. And I'm delighted the game is in Turles. I'm much happier it's in Turles than Croke Park, to be honest with you. Like, I off the top of my head, I can't remember when's the last time Offaly played a game at senior level in Turles anyway. So it's a great opportunity for a lot of these lads to play in a great stadium like Semple Stadium. And yeah, look, playing in an All-Ireland quarter final is exactly where these lads want to be, bar obviously playing in the semi-final or finals. So look, I'm expecting a great atmosphere, and I'm hoping the match matches up to that as well for the Clare and Dublin game tonight as well.
I know I'm getting my money's worth out of you anyway. We're keeping it going, but do you think I'll finish up with you soon, don't worry, but do you think the football has overtaken the hurling even this year as a whole, not just this weekend?
It's certainly been highly entertaining. I will give it that. Like, the football has been excellent this season. The shocks, like your Westmeath winning the Leinster title, Monaghan, the comebacks they've had against Derry, and, you know, pushing Armagh to an All-Ireland or to extra time in the Ulster final. You've had Donegal losing to Cork last weekend, which, well done on that, by the way. That was a super, super win. And the football has been excellent this season. The hurling has probably been a small bit disappointing to a degree. I think Leinster was very entertaining, just considering some of the shocks that we kind of did get with it. We could kind of get knocked out and awfully finish in third, etc. I think Munster probably was a small bit underwhelming to a degree. I think Cork and Limerick were just miles and miles, for the time being anyways, ahead of the rest of them. But then I think we got a very good Munster final at the end. But look, I still think hurling is the better game, and I will fight anyone on that. It's still my number one sport. But I do think the football this season probably has edged in terms of quality and entertainment.
All right, Liam, we're sitting here tomorrow, half five. What do you think has happened in Turles?
I think Cork win the game by I'd say 8 or 9 points. But I think we can push you all the way.
Do you think there's a disrespect to the bookies of Cork at 1-40, like, which is just absolute madness?
Look, it's understandable, I suppose, just given the trajectory that Cork have been on the last number of years compared to Offaly. But at the same time, look, as the great Danny Owen said about my own club back in 2012, or Claudio Ranieri said in 2016 with Leicester, I don't listen to the bookies, I don't listen to the bookmakers. So the boys have just got to not think about that tomorrow. Just go out and just take it, every poke out and every bit of play as it goes.
Brilliant stuff. Liam White, sports reporter with Midlands 103. Thanks a million for coming on. There was a fair few compliments for Cork now. The Cork girlfriend from y'all, she's paying off dividends anyway.
Absolutely so. Thanks, Dan.
Cheers, Liam. Cheers. He was giving nothing away at the end anyway. Well, as mentioned, Cork City had a mighty win against Treaty United last night, beating them 4-0. So let's hear now from the gaffer.
Barry, how good was that second half from your side?
Yeah, I thought we performed really well. I mean, spoke to them at half time. I said the first half wasn't us, didn't look like us as a team. We looked a bit caught in between with stuff, decision making, just a bit of everything, and it was all over the team. And so I said a few bits at half time, and then we saw the real players come out, and they blew them away in 30 minutes and played like what we normally play. So I said, I'm really demanding, I want us to play like that all the time, but I know you can't. But I still think there was things in the first half we should have been so much better at, and decision making, distances, everything. But credit to the players, they came out, and what a performance second half,
and some terrific performances. But Killian Murphy, man of the match performance, he's just electric whenever he gets on the ball.
Yeah, he did. He was outstanding again there tonight. He probably had a wee dip there for a few weeks, and big Conor O'Donnell, when he came out, like the big centre back, was 18-year-old. You know, they've done great, and that was the normal Cork City. After the first half, the normal Cork City resumed, and the way we play, the way we do things, the fans on board, and it felt good. Second half, it felt like everybody's on board, and I think that's just 15 points clear. And listen, we've done that with some really young kids, loads of debuts, and young boys coming in, and a lot of injuries, and we just have to keep cracking on.
How good is it to see Rory Keating back on form and scoring week in, week out?
Yeah, it's took us a while, and by the way, I said that to you at the start. I said it takes a wee while. We've managed them right, and we just have to keep them fit and keep them sharp. And when you do that, he will score goals. And I think when I first came in here, he's probably never worked with a manager like me before, which is going to be a lot different for him. But he's such a good kid, and we got on well, we got on really well. And the one thing I've got over him is experience, and I know what will make him better, and he listens to me, you know, he does. And credit to him for the injury he had, and credit to him for how hard he's worked to get back to the shape he's in. But the thing for Keats is he needs to stay there, he needs to keep producing, and I'm sure he will.
And what more can you say about Hans? He knows where the goal is.
Yeah, he's doing really well. Hans has done another one when we came in. He's learning all the time. We work really hard with him. Every day, you need to run forward, you need to run here. He was always a player who was wanting to come short to the ball all the time. But I says, no, Hans, you need to run behind more. Mm. Players can't catch you. He's done that. He's learned how to press properly now. He's in a good place, Hans, and he needs to be. I think Hans, as a player, needs to be here for a good while longer. He needs a good season here, in our season in the top level and in the Premier League. And if he could do that, he's got a real chance, but he needs to learn, and we're doing that with him, and you can see that he's progressing quite well at the moment.
And as you say, 15 points clear at the top of the table. I can't imagine what you in charge, complacency is going to be an issue.
Well, I hope not. Well, for the Cork City fans that are in charge, it's them that's in charge. They're the ones that are going to let you know. And they let us know away for the first for about 25 minutes there in the first half, and quite right. And then I let them know in the half time. But listen, this group has been fantastic. Their work rate, the way they do things, they're not always going to play well. They're not. And by the way, that's 7 wins in a row and scored another 4 goals. I don't care what MD says, that any level, that is really, really good. So credit to the players.
Thanks, Barry. Well done tonight.
Yeah, that was manager Barry Robson speaking to our very own Rory O'Hagan after City's win over Treaty 4-0 last night in the Cross. From one great win to another, and Cork City's women's team, they defeated Piemont at 6-0 in Turner's Cross today, which is a fantastic turnaround for them. Their first win of the Women's Premier Division this season. So here's Aaron Howie speaking to manager Derek Holland.
Derek, what a way to get your first win in the season. You must be absolutely delighted.
You're so happy, yeah. So happy for those girls. Since we've come in, they've been so good. They've been so, even how they play football, I wasn't sure what it was going to be when we came in, but straight away once we came in, we knew that they were players, you know. We knew they had this in them. We knew that they could play ball, you know. And to be fair to them, since we came in, they've been outstanding. They've tried to do the right things all the time, and I think just they showed everything today. And that's what we asked beforehand. Can he just do what you do in training and bring it onto the pitch today? And that's what they did, you know. And keeping that clean sheet as well was massive, you know.
And the goals, the scorers, a lot of really good goals today as well.
Yeah, to be honest, I can't wait to sit down and watch the game afterwards, maybe with a glass of wine or a cold beer later on, because obviously there was a lot going on in the game, and keeping the clean sheet was vital for me, for the girls. So I suppose I'll enjoy the goals, watching them when I get back. But six different goal scorers, some very good goals amongst it. But to be honest, for me, it's the clean sheet is as important, you know.
Yeah, the clean sheet, the back four today, the average age of 16.
Yeah, I think we have a 15, 16, 17, 18. I think we covered most of the teenage years there with the girls, and you'd never known it from seeing them. Anna came on making her debut start. Emma again making her third start. They were fantastic. Kira moved to left back, no bother to her. And obviously, Holly has been outstanding. She was outstanding today again, you know.
You talk about the young players. Like, obviously, Emma made her debut a couple of weeks ago, has played a few games. Phoebe in the squad today for the first time and came onto the pitch.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Like, everyone's doing well.
Yeah, Phoebe, she got registered yesterday. Her jersey was made for yesterday by Peter and Mick. So that was done, and Erica got her registered. So I was delighted to get Phoebe on, and also Lucia coming on again today. And it was great to see Kate and Lauren came on and got that goal for us, that sixth goal, which was the icing on the cake.
And you'll be fired up, the girls will be fired up, so I guess now it's just put the head back down, get to work for the next one, and hopefully another 3 points.
Yeah, we'll enjoy it. The girls will enjoy this. It's something they probably haven't felt for a while, and I, to be honest, I don't know, is there any team in Europe after going through that period of a drought without winning a game, you know? So for the girls, this is fantastic, but this is just the foundation. This is the start. This is to show them what they can do, and we build from here, you know. And I have fierce belief in this group of players, and not only this group of players, but the girls coming up behind them. We've got savage talent coming up, and these girls are going to lead the way for that, you know.
Yeah, it's great to see Cork City legend Derek Collin absolutely delighted with the women's team 6-0 win over Piemont in the Cross. That's all we have time for here on the first half of the show, but don't go anywhere. Chat with Derek Fitzgibbon coming in the second. Yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties there. Some gremlins in the system. Anyways, we're back here on the Big Red Bench. And here's Cork hurling captain Derek Fitzgibbon speaking to Tommy Rooney.
Okay, it is fantastic to be joined by the Cork captain, Darragh Fitzgibbon, who is an AIR ambassador. AIR are encouraging GAA clubs nationwide to enter the AIR Puck Topper Challenge, where the fastest team wins €5,000 for the club and the chance to play in Croke Park on All-Ireland semi-final day. To enter, just check out AIR Ireland on socials. Darragh Fitzgibbon, I take it it's been a funny couple of weeks for you. You've missed out on a bit of hurling. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all good, Tommy. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a funny few weeks, sorry, but it's only a small thing, really, in the grand scheme of things. So looking forward to getting back into it now, hopefully, over the next few weeks.
How does appendicitis happen upon you? Doesn't sound like it's nice.
Yeah, no, I just came from school there one day, and I just had a pain in my stomach, and I think that was a Thursday or Friday, and we were training on a Saturday morning, so I knew like that the doctors, Dr. Adrian Murphy, he's involved with us, he'd be at training. So I kind of held off doing anything about it until I went to training on Saturday morning, and he said I needed to go straight to the hospital. So it was all good though. He looked after me, very grateful for him. So it was all, I was out again within 24 hours, so I was happy out.
Good man, you did what most males around the world are doing. You buried your head in the sand and you wait a couple of days before you're told to go in. Oh, well, thank God all is good. And come here, you were added back onto the panel for the Munster final, so you were in the mix that day, but you were on the standby list really, weren't you?
Yeah, that was more kind of just a thing, just obviously being the role of captain this year, so it was just to be around the lads and stuff, but I was never going to be playing really, not. No.
Okay, I get you. Yeah, because there was a bit of, I'm not sure if you see it at the weekend, Roscommon were obviously knocked out in the football, but Enda Smith was ruled out through injury, and then he wasn't actually on the standby list, and then an hour or so before throwing, we heard word that he'd be back. he arrives at the bag. But do you know what? He clearly wasn't fit because he only had 5 minutes in him at the end of the game. Like, so I think Roscommon had a couple of late injuries and threw him back in. We were all wondering in the press box, was Dara Fitzgibbon going to make a miraculous recovery? But it's not that easy, is it?
No, it's not that easy. No, it's not that easy. There's plenty of boys there anyway to do it for on the day.
Yeah, come here. You had been in good form, so something like that middle of the season. Look, we've seen plenty of footballers and hurlers ruled out cruelly through big injuries. You know yourselves with Kieran Joyce, and you've had a few other knocks across the season as well. And I know you all deal with it. But on a personal level, how does it affect your own flow and your own form in the middle of the year?
Yeah, of course, it's disappointing. Like I suppose it was mid-season. So initially, you just kind of just try and focus on like what can I do just to make sure that I'm healthy first and foremost. Obviously, because I was in a bit of pain for a few days before and after, but it quickly cleared up, thank God. And then there was a great medical team there between the physios and the doctors, and they just kind of laid out a plan for me to come back within the next 4 to 6 weeks. So I just followed that plan religiously, really. And obviously, the 2 days against Clare and against Limerick weren't easy, obviously, not being able to play. But you're kind of looking at it from a different point of view, just trying to be around the lads, obviously, with the role I have this year, you know. So just trying to look at it from a different aspect and trying to learn from it. But, you know, it builds the hunger then again for the next couple or the next game coming up at the weekend, you know. So still have got a week of training to go through to hopefully make some bit of an appearance. But we don't know yet. So that's kind of all I'm focused on really now at the moment.
Okay, so that's good to hear. You're back on the training field and you're in the mix to take on Offaly in the All-Ireland Hurling quarterfinals this weekend.
Yeah, like just have followed the schedule. Like, you know, I was given a kind of a 4 to 6 week schedule to follow, and I am on course for that at the moment. So we'll see how the week goes. Yeah, it's just kind of taking it day by day. Just happy to be back out in the field hurling, really. You know, it's the middle of summer. That's what everyone wants to be doing. And like you said, they're like long-term injuries, like here on Jason. It's only a small thing at the end of the day. So I'm just happy and grateful to be back out there, yeah.
I can imagine you're itching to get back at it. Is there ever too long when an intercounty hurler like yourself doesn't have a hurl in their hands?
No. I think like you almost have it nearly. You have it in the hand nearly every day. Do you know, like the game is so quick. Do you know, like I often find if you've missed a week or two, you can often like through an injury or through a small lock, you can often kind of feel a little bit rusty when it comes back into things, and fellas might take a few weeks to get back into the flow of things. So that's kind of the challenge, you know, that lays ahead for fellas. That, you know, the way the season is so quick now, you know, there's a fella can get a knock and he can miss 4 or 5 weeks and he can miss the whole season. So you know, there's different challenges here and there, but yeah, regards your own preparation and stuff, you try and keep the hurley in hand every day just to keep the touch on top of the touch as much as you can, because, you know, without getting the ball in your hand in a game, you're kind of rendered useless, really.
Yeah, you'd be no good in the puck topper if you hadn't been a topper.
No, absolutely not. No.
Munster final day must have been strange for you. I know you're saying that you can add a little bit and you're trying to do your bit as, you know, as captain, but also as a good teammate. You're trying to do whatever you can to give good energy to the lads. What was the game itself like for you watching on? Because you probably knew you weren't going to be able to get onto the field. Well, you obviously couldn't.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of just back watching as a supporter, really. Like, obviously, I was on the bus with the lads beforehand, and then I was in around the dressing room and the warm up. But after that, then, like, really, my role, I didn't have anything to do for the rest of the day, so I was just watching with the rest of the 10 or 12 lads that were on the extended panel, just back to being a spectator, and just like you were kind of as a young fella, just dealing with all the emotions and all the ups and downs of the game. You know, you find yourself maybe standing up and you know, supporting the lads. You know, like the rest of the couple of thousand people that were there as well. You know, it was definitely different, and it probably make you appreciate, you know, the few years that you have at it, and you know, the opportunities that you get to go out and play over the last few years, and hopefully over the next few years, you know. So definitely it's after building up the hunger and building up the appreciation for what you've been able to do, and you know, the privilege it is to be able to wear the Cork jersey. And like I said, like, you only get a few years at it, so you know, and I'm, you know, 29 now, so probably have more done than what's left, so definitely going to appreciate it now more than ever.
I think you're in the prime, Dara. That's what you're supposed to say, the prime of your career. Listen, I know and I can imagine it's a privilege, right? But But like, you boys have been involved in, I think, 12 sellouts in a row. Like, the Cork fans are obviously amazing. That leads itself to incredible atmospheres. You've played in incredible games, matches that have gone down the stretch. When you're on the field and the game is going down the stretch, how does it compare to watching on and the game in the melting pot in those crazy last couple of minutes? I can't imagine you have the same knots in your stomach as you do watching on, as you do when you're in the middle of the field.
Yeah, you're definitely, I probably found myself a little bit more nervous last I watched on, you know, when it comes down to the wire at the end of the game, because you probably can't do anything about it, or you can't have any role in it to control what might happen here and there. And just know you're kind of more depending on hope, because obviously you're not involved in it. Yeah, it's definitely, it's kind of a weird thing, all right. You know, you'd probably rather be involved in it, as strange as it sounds, like, even obviously they're high pressure in situations and high pressure environments, but it's definitely kind of easier to be out there. You know, but like you said, like, it's like every time you go out playing with Cork at the moment, there's just a sea of red at every stadium. It doesn't matter where it is, it doesn't matter what stage of the championship it's in. It's such a cool thing to be able to experience. You know, it's one of the best things you'll probably be able to experience throughout your whole lifetime. And you know, like, we're always kind of saying in the Cork dressing room, like, that there's young lads there and young girls coming to these matches, and like, they must be going home just wishing and hoping that, like, someday that they'll be able to do this, because, like, it's just an incredible day and it's an incredible environment and it's an incredible atmosphere to be involved in. And, you know, we're blessed to be able to do it and have the opportunity to do it this year and in 2026.
You must have been at a great age growing up and watching Ben and Jerry and Donal Logue and that great Cork team that last one in All-Ireland. You must have had unbelievable experiences as a kid, did you?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I think, you know, all these groups of players, or the group of players that are playing at the moment, like, we all experienced that. You know, we saw Ben and Jerry and the rest of the lads winning the All-Ireland. So, you know, that gave us the kind of the appetite to hopefully someday dream and play for Cork ourselves. You know, like, it was class to be able to grow up in Crow Park. I watched the lads in Crow Park and see them win All-Irelands. You know, and that's probably the one thing, you know, the kids in Cork are, you know, the last couple of years probably haven't been able to see that. So it's something like that the dressing room is striving to do, but obviously it's a really difficult challenge, as it's proven to be over the last few years.
Of course it is. It's a tricky question to ask you, because anytime I really cover hurling, it's Munster Championship games, it's Club All-Ireland finals, it's All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. I get the great games. And you're in the middle of it. But what's your sense of where hurling is at the minute? I've covered a lot of football over the last couple of years as well, and we've seen the transformation the game has gone through there. I don't know. I would be curious as to what you think, because obviously there's a hurling review committee going on at the minute as well. Where do you think the game is at right now?
I think in terms of, like, the playing level of the game, it's getting better and better every year. You know, like every year you go, like, you're just playing against incredible players, and players that are coming through, each player, young player that comes through seems to be better than the next. But obviously, like, you know, probably the elephant in the room is, like, that there's only 7 or 8 you know, counties that may be competing for an All-Ireland title, and then you've got 3 or 4 other counties then that are kind of coming up between Joe McDonough and Delene McCarthy and so on. You know, so, like, the best step that probably we can try and make is try and get as many counties as you can competing in the Delene McCarthy. You know, because you see the football championship at the moment, like, you know, there's upsets left, right and centre, and, you know, there's teams that you mightn't have recognised really in the last couple of years winning big trophies, and, you know, probably, you know, their goal now is to win All-Ireland. And so, you know, like, when you hear about that hurling review committee, you know, sometimes your mind straight away goes to people talking about rules like hand passes and stuff like that. But, you know, from my point of view, I'd be hoping, like, that their biggest goal is to try and grow the game in the counties that maybe it mightn't be seen as strong as, you know, the Corks, the Limericks, the Clares, the Tipperarys at the moment. So that would be my overall view on it. Like, obviously, I don't have any involvement in it, but that's just probably my view from a player's point of view.
That's interesting to hear that, and I'm sure there'll be plenty that would echo that as well. Cork footballers pulled off one of those shocks that you're referencing at the weekend. That was something else.
Yeah, that was incredible to see. And, you know, they're a phenomenal group of players as well. And so hopefully that win will create that, like, kind of, you know, that support that we have got over the last couple of years. You know, because, you know, it was probably that win against Limerick in 2024 here in Páirc Uí Chaoimh that kind of brought that kind of wave of fans with us over the last two or three seasons. So, the footballers had an equally big win on at the weekend. So, hopefully, they can get a similar support that we can get, because it makes a huge difference to us as a group, and it makes a huge difference to our performances. But it was a phenomenal result.
Yeah, you can tell, and sometimes it is just one big win that just kind of gets the whole ball rolling. And it'd be very interesting to see what happens there. Last football question, and I don't want to hijack this with football, but we saw the Hooter over the last couple of months and the last year bring a bit of clarity when it's working and it's in a stadium to games. Obviously, the end game with yourselves in Limerick was a little bit messy in terms of, look, I was doing an update live on News Talk at the time, and I could see Cian Lynch walking stride and stride with James Owens, clearly asking him for the time. I know your Cork boys are probably trying to figure out a move, thinking there was time left. A, have you got over that part of the game, the ending, the way that fell apart for you? And B, would you have any interest in seeing a Hooter come into top level intercounty hurling?
I suppose, kind of to echo what I just said about the hurling review committee, I don't think there needs to be any rule changes anymore. I think hurling is at the best level it's ever been. Do you know, like, the championship seems to get better and better every year, and the teams seem to keep getting pushing more at each other and making each other better every season. So personally, I actually think the game is actually perfect. It's growing. It is probably the challenge. So I don't think there would be any need for a Hooter or anything like that. And then look at the whole thing surrounding the final whistle. Like, we've moved on from it. You know, our sole focus now is on Offaly in the All Ireland quarter final. I think it was just, we were just disappointed. You know, like, with the weather conditions, like, Pa was probably too far out to shoot. You know, with the wind and the rain that was there. So, like, in my opinion, he did the right thing trying to work the ball short, and it wasn't to be. Like, that's just the way it happened. If he probably had a shot, it probably wouldn't have went over anyway. So, emotions after a game and stuff are obviously going to get the better at the time. But
yeah,
when we reviewed, like, you know, we always say in our dressing room, whoever wins at the end of the 70 minutes is the better team, and Limerick won at the end of the 70 minutes, so they're clearly the better team on the day.
For sure. Small margins. Ben O'Connor, named you as captain earlier in the year. I can tell that's a big thing for you. And I know you don't, you know, you're not going to shirk that either. Like, it is a big honour to captain the Cork Hurlers. Ben was your manager with Charleville back in 2018. You won a Premier Intermediate title. How different is he as a manager from the man that was over you in 2018? I'm sure you're a different hurler than the young fella back in 2018 as well.
Yeah, he's quite similar, actually, to be honest. Obviously, like, when he was involved with Charleville, he would have been doing more of the coaching, more hands-on in training sessions, but now he's more kind of a manager role with Cork. But Joe, I suppose the biggest thing with Ben is, like, I suppose, like, previously we answered, like, we all looked up to him when we were growing up. So, you know, we all want to try, when we get the jersey, well, I want to try and do our best we can for him when we get that opportunity to go onto the field. And I think everyone echoes that. To be fair to him, he's been a breath of fresh air, and his backroom team have been a breath of fresh air when they came in. Every year brings challenges here and there. But our biggest goal was to try and get out of Munster, and that's where we are. Now we're on our second phase of that, and that's to try and get into Croke Park, which hopefully we can do on Saturday with a good performance against Offaly.
Yeah, for sure. And look, you mentioned a breath of fresh air there. I'm sure when a new management team comes in, they're looking for a couple of young fellas to come through as well. The likes of William Buckley, like, this, the speed of him the last day. Barry Walsh has had a big impact too this year as well. The team does need an infusion, and we've seen that with great teams over the years. They always need one or two extra additions across the season. And then, of course, injuries too. You need fellas stepping up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, would you know, whether you win All-Ireland or whether you lose in All-Ireland or you've had a bad season, like, every team needs to kind of refresh with youth. And to be fair, we're lucky in Cork at the moment. You know, there's no shortage of it. There was 10 or 11 guys that came in training with us at the start of the season. Some of them had to be cut. And then you see guys like Will and Barry coming in. They showed their worth in training, and they were given the opportunity, and they've taken the opportunity, you know. There's no shortage of young talent, and, you know, for us, seeing these lads coming in, it just gives you that extra bit of impetus, you know, that you have to train, you know, improve your level, those small few percentages each year, to try and hold on to the jersey, because, you know, there's another 7 or 8 fellas there that once they get that opportunity, they won't be giving it back very lightly.
But Darren Fitzgibbon, there's a couple of massive weekends of hurling left in the calendar this season. Very best of luck this weekend, and best of luck on the return. Hopefully we see you back in action very soon, because you've been a loss to the game over the last couple of weeks. Thanks for chatting to us and off the ball. And just a reminder, the AIR are encouraging GAA clubs nationwide to enter the AIR Puck Topper Challenge, where the fastest team can win $5,000. Dara, go well and chat soon.
Thanks very much, Tommy. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Yeah, that was Tommy Rooney of Off the Ball speaking to Cork hurling captain Dara Fitzgibbon. The Cork senior ladies staged a remarkable and late comeback to win 115-114 away to Waterford in Fraher Field last weekend. And that victory kept Cork seniors in this year's TG Cahir All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship ahead of Saturday's Crunch Armagh clash versus when they were playing Waterford. Here's Cork senior captain Emma Cleary speaking to Joe McCarthy about her county's superb comeback and the hopes for a positive Armagh result.
Now, joining me here on the Big Red Bench is Cork LGFA senior captain Emma Cleary to reflect on her county's fantastic TG Cahir All-Ireland comeback win over Waterford and to look ahead to this weekend's final group match involving the Déisha and Armagh. You are very welcome back to the bench, Emma. How are things?
Good, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you again. Obviously, last Saturday night's fantastic 115-114 win over Waterford and Fraher Field when Cork were 6 points down with only a couple of minutes to go. It was a remarkable comeback from the Rebels. You got the first point. Katie Quirk converted a penalty on Terry O'Sullivan, Rachel Regan, and then Katie Quirk hit the winning point with seconds to go to the Hooter. Talk to me about the emotions and the fantastic feeling in the camp immediately after that brilliant, brilliant win.
Yeah, look, I think initially it was just pure relief when the final whistle went. You know, the Hooter went there straight away after Katie's last shot, and I think, you know, our championship was on the line there, and we would have been gone out of the championship had we lost that game or even a draw. So look, to get over the line by a point was, you know, pure relief for us when the final whistle went.
But that never say die attitude, Emma, because look, we have to remember, take a step back with the Cork senior ladies sometimes. You're back up in Division 1, you had a fantastic National League winning campaign. It didn't go well in Munster, but to come back with your season on the line, what does that say about the work rate and the heart, and certainly the determination of this panel? Because as you said, you were gone out of the championship into a relegation battle with 6 minutes to go, but the way you came back, it says so much about these players and this setup.
Yeah, look, I think we probably showed a bit of that even throughout the league. I suppose the league final was nearly something similar. We were down maybe, I think it was 5 or 6 points as well coming down the stretch, and we dug it out that day as well. So we knew we kind of have that in us. And I suppose then, on the other hand, we would have been disappointed in the Munster Championship how we petered out of games in the second half, and we knew that kind of wasn't us. And I think we had some hard questions to ask ourselves this week coming into the Waterford game, and like one of the key points was just mentally, would we be ready for it when the going gets tough, like coming down the line, because we knew that you know, Waterford was going to be a really tough game. And look, I think that showed there on Saturday evening. You know, we never gave up, and I think that is an attribute within this team. You know, we fight to the very end, and luckily it came off this weekend.
Yeah, you mentioned there the honest chats that you had in the aftermath of losing to Armagh at Parky Ring, and something that Joe Carron mentioned in a lot of his aftermatch press talk and conversations. It's clear that those honest, clear the air talks worked. And it's not an easy thing to do when things aren't going well. People are opinionated, they have things to say. But as captain, you obviously stepped up and had your say. But are you noticing a lot of the younger players now, maybe new to the panel in the last couple of years, are starting to take ownership of things? Because it was clear there that second half comeback that there's a lot of young players that came off the bench, and that's one thing off the bench. You had the likes of Rachel Regan, you had Abigail Ring, you had Siobhan Callan, and a few others. They all stepped up when there was real questions asked, and that's got to be so encouraging.
Yeah, definitely. Look, definitely was, I suppose, for, as you said, the impact we got off the bench. Like, you know, it was a big blow to lose Rachel Leahy there in the first half, like one of our key players. But look, you look at the likes of Rachel O'Regan, it was just next man up. She came on, and I think she scored 3 points, which was, you know, exceptional. And especially down the end when we really needed her. And as you said, the likes of Abigail coming on, Siobhan Callan in there, you know, really steadied the ship. And I suppose what we talked about mainly during the week, the whole group, was we felt probably our work rate had kind of dropped from the league, and I think we were in charge of any work rate there on Saturday night. You know, we, as I said, we knew our championship was on the line, and we put everything into it, and as I said, thank God we got over the line.
You certainly did. Now, this weekend, you're not playing, but Armagh are hosting Waterford in the final group match, and the easiest way to explain this to people, Armagh are already into the All-Ireland quarterfinals, but a win or a draw will guarantee them home advantage in that draw, but it would also put Cork through into knockout stages. I assume, just for this weekend only, we're all Armagh fans, and we're hoping for a positive result from Armagh.
Definitely, yeah. Look, I suppose even after the great comeback at the weekend, I suppose it still doesn't guarantee us anything. It'll be a waiting game on Saturday to see how that result goes. It comes down to Armagh hopefully winning or drawing that game, as you said. But we just have to train away this week as if we're still training for an All-Ireland quarterfinal, and hopefully that's the case.
Yes, because unfortunately the alternative, should Waterford win, and they're more than capable of doing that, as you know, that means Cork would go into a relegation playoff, semi-finals and finals. We don't want to think about that negatively, but how is training going this week? Because you don't know what's happening yet until that game is completed. Is it just focus on yourselves and get as much as you can, get ready for whatever scenario, and just put it out of your minds and train as hard as you can?
Yeah, I suppose for us, we were back in the gym on Monday night, and we were back on the pitch last night, and we had a really good session. From our perspective, we're you know, thinking as positively as we can, and we're in our minds, we're preparing for an All-Ireland quarterfinal, and look, we know that's not guaranteed, and it might not 100% be the case, but I think that's the way we have to look at it. And you know, as you said, all we'll be saying the prayers Friday night and Saturday morning that I get over the line.
Finally, I can't let you go without asking you, because it was not just the Cork Ladies senior footballers, but the men's also, a great weekend of comebacks and a great weekend in the Cleary household, as your dad John and the senior footballers put in a brilliant performance to beat Donegal and Ballybuffet. Lovely for your dad, obviously.
We our team meeting was during the game and the lads game, so we caught the last minute of the lads game just as we were getting onto the bus on the radio, and you know, there was a big cheer on the bus when the final whistle went in their game, so it actually, you know, we actually couldn't wait to get out and play a match after hearing the result. It did actually, you know, give us a lift. But look, no, it was a great weekend. You know, it was a great result for the lads as well, and I think it did give us a bit of a lift going into that game. I was kind of giving out, I was saying that there's nearly overshadowed our great comeback. Everyone was talking about our game, but it was brilliant. And look, my mom missed our game. She made the long trip up to Ballybuffet. So look, it was a great day all round, and hopefully there'll be a few more good results to come.
I certainly hope so, and I think there will be for both the Cork Ladies seniors and men's teams in the coming weeks. But for now, it's all eyes on Armagh and Waterford this weekend at the TG Car All-Ireland LGFA Senior Group Championship in the group stages. The outcome of that game will dictate what happens next for Cork. But for now, thanks for taking the time to speak to us here, Emma Cleary, Senior Captain of the Cork LGFA team here on the Big Red Bench.
No bother at all, Mr.
Yeah, and the result went the way of Cork as Armagh beat Waterford 215 to 115 in Fraher Field earlier. Thanks a million for joining me here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. I see they're just about to throw in Semple Stadium for Dublin versus Clare in their quarterfinal. Marta Guilfoyle is coming your way next. And safe travels to anyone headed to Thurles tomorrow. Let's pack out the place and keep our sold out record going. Talk soon. Come on, the Rebels.